The reading today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. This can be found on page 20 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Page 20, Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Forgiveness. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." The parable of the unforgiving servant. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. And this is the word of the Lord.
With the projector, and it's also pouring rain outside. But that doesn't affect our worship of our Lord. Praise the Lord. And we are very privileged to have Pastor Chua to bring God's word to us today. Pastor Chua is the founder and was also the senior pastor of Emmanuel Evangelical Church in the UK. He is also an internationally renowned Bible expositor. And he has retired and is here to visit his family, Andrew Chua, is Andrew with us today? But Debbie is with us and the grandchildren. So we are so glad that Pastor Chua come visit us again and bring God's word.
Thank you, Pastor May, for those kind words of introduction and welcome. It's a great joy to be back at Union Church. In recent months, my wife and I have been preparing a series of CDs, and at our retirement, the Lord was saying, "I want you to spread my message to more people," and so we produced these CDs, and I brought some today. One is called Alone with God. This CD helps you to receive God's love. It's not trying to love God more or trying to serve Him harder. It's just accepting His love, His goodness and kindness to us. And several people have bought this CD, and they said all kinds of things. Especially one of them said to me from Hong Kong, "When I heard your CD, I went to sleep." How can you tell a preacher you sleep when you hear his sermon? But that wasn't the case. She realized she made a mistake. Apparently, she had insomnia for a long time. But when she realized how much God loved her, she was able to sleep so peacefully. And another person said, well, on the eve of my exam, I heard this CD, and God just calmed all my nerves, and I passed my exams with distinction. Praise God. Now, my family, we are communicators. We want to make God's word attractive, relevant, and we thought of forming a society. It's called the Society Against Boring Sermons. Anybody wants to join it? And so over the past 50 years or so, I've opened my sermon larder, brought some of the illustrations together, and so the fruit is the first encore, and you have illustrations, quotes that will motivate you to serve and to live a life full of zeal, zest for God. There are humorous stories and illustrations, so it's called the first encore, and because of its popularity, we have encore, encore. So if you want to have a good laugh, and more important, be able to quote things to others or to tell these stories so that there will be some fun in the marketplace, you can buy these CDs. They cost $60 each, all right? You know, G.K. Chesterton used to say, why do angels fly? Answer, because they treat themselves lightly. So we need to have that sense of humor as well, because humor is one of God's great gift. Right, end of commercial. I've been a pastor ministering to people all over the world for nearly 50 years. And I have seen the ugly specter of unforgiveness. Sometimes I sit at church committee meetings, council meetings, and all it takes is two people who have grudges inside them. And when the committee starts, yes, church committee, what happens? Sparks fly. And you see saints becoming demons. And I've also seen at close quarters how unforgiveness wrecks family relationships, fractures all the good things in life. So my topic for this morning is the S of forgiveness, the AS of forgiveness. Now in the Lord's Prayer, we make this petition, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The preposition as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, one of the great English writers, Charles William, said these words, no word brings greater possibility and terror than as in that clause. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. You remember in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, after teaching the disciples to pray that wonderful prayer, the Lord made a commentary in Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. In other words, the Lord Jesus ties divine forgiveness with human forgiveness. All of us need God's pardon. We need to be freed from our sins and faults. And we come to God needing His forgiveness. And wonderfully, He does forgive us. But He tells us too that if we are not prepared to forgive those who have sinned against us, then God might withhold His forgiveness. Wow. These are the words of Jesus, not my words. So this word, S, is so important. If we want to receive God's free grace and pardon, then we must be willing to release, to free other people, to forgive those who have hurt us so deeply, who have wounded us so intensely. We need to forgive them completely. Let's begin by exploring this subject. First of all, our first major point is there are two laws. The first law is the law of Lamech. It's the law of unforgiveness. If you have Bibles with you, would you like to turn to Genesis chapter 4? Genesis chapter 4, verse 23. Now this is a law which has been practiced, adopted by people for countless generations. Now Lamech was a descendant of Cain. Cain, the first murderer, the son of Adam and Eve. And in verse 23, Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged 7 times, then Lamech 77 times. Cain apparently was a bad-tempered man, and he could kill out of vengeance, and he would take revenge 7 times. But here, Lamech is saying, I am even worse than Cain. I would not forgive people if they've hurt me. My bitter spirit, my resentment will take hold of me and might even resort to killing them, to obliterate them, to exterminate them from the face of the earth. That's the law of Lamech. And to put it simply, the law of Lamech is this: you owe, you pay. You owe, you pay. You hurt me, I will hurt you. You try to destroy me, and I will destroy you forever. Now, in financial circles, if you are in deep hardship, what happens? You may have to go to borrow money from unauthorized money lenders. What do we call them? Loan sharks. Loan sharks. Do you call them loan bunnies or loan teddy bears? Of course not. Loan sharks, because they are ferocious people. You don't pay, they'll send the gangsters, the mafia, or whoever it is, to come and get you. And all Chinese martial art films, Shaolin Warriors and so on, their drama are simply based on the law of revenge. You hurt a member of my family, and I will want to get my honor back, and I will destroy you forever. And this goes on all the time. The law of revenge is called the law of Lamech, 77 times. But then there's another law. It's the law of Jesus. In the reading that we had today in Matthew chapter 18, you remember Peter approached Jesus and he said to him, Master, how many times must I forgive my brother? If he sinned against me, would 7 times do? He thought, ooh, what a good boy am I. And if I forgive 7 times, aren't you going to pat my back and say, well done, great guy? But Jesus turned to him and said, no, you forgive how many times? 77 times. Lamech, revenge, 77 times. And Jesus says you are to forgive 77 times. And we have a choice, either to adopt and embrace the law of Lamech or to follow the law of Jesus. Two laws. The law of Lamech kills. The law of Jesus heals. The law of Lamech destroys. The law of Jesus builds. And we are faced with this choice. Which law will we adopt and embrace in our lives? Now, as I've said before, revenge is so natural. If we have been bitterly hurt, if we keep thinking of all the wrong things that someone has done to us, then we bear grudges and want to take our revenge. Once a man had a huge row with his wife. They quarreled. And he also was quarreling not only with his wife, but his mother-in-law as well. So 2 women against 1 man. And he got so fed up, and he left the house in a rage. When he left his house, as he approached the main street, he saw a funeral cortege. There was a funeral procession. And the first car, there was a coffin with wreaths and flowers. The second one, another coffin with wreaths and flowers. And the third one, in this car, was a huge dog. And this man was very puzzled, wondering what was so unusual about this funeral procession. And then when he came to the fourth car, he sort of knocked at the window because he realized the man who was supposed to be mourning was in the car. He said, excuse me, sir, sorry to disturb you. I can't understand why there are two cars with coffins, a third one with a huge dog. What's up? And the man said, well, I fought with my wife and my mother-in-law, and whilst fighting, my dog took my side and killed my wife and my mother-in-law. And that's why I'm honoring the dog. And then the man thought for a while, said, excuse me, may I borrow your dog? And the man said, sorry, you have to wait your turn. 50 other people have asked me whether they could borrow my dog. So revenge is so natural in our human DNA and system. Then let's look now at the difficulty of forgiving other people. The difficulty of forgiving other people. If someone has hurt and wounded us, the pain is very real. Time does not heal these wounds at all. If we bury them, our memories suddenly be triggered up, and we will want to take revenge, and we want to settle scores. Because all of us, if you like, have an elephant memory. Once two men were talking in the pub, and the second man was asking the first man, "How's your marriage? What's your wife like?" They've been married only for about 3 years. And he said, "Well, my wife on the whole is a good person, but she has one problem. She is historical." And the man said, "Excuse me, you mean she's hysterical?" He said, no, she's historical. Every time we quarrel, she'll remember the date, the year, the month, the week, the time, and even the event. Historical. So all of us have got what we call elephant memories. And that's why it makes forgiving ever so difficult. Of course, we dream of revenge, we want to square up. And which one of us does not want to do it, especially if we have a partner who walked out of our marriage, of our covenant relationship, or the boss who overlooks us for promotion and promoted somebody else, or the person who conned us of our hard-earned cash. So forgiveness is difficult. Do you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? His brothers had arrived, and they were pleading, begging him almost for food. It was a time of famine, and he could easily have wreaked revenge. After all, they were the ones who sold him into captivity. They were the ones who bullied him and mocked him. And so as he struggled in his emotion, now as he was the chancellor of the exchequer, of the financial secretary, such a powerful man in Egypt, what was he to do? And we read in Genesis that this man, Joseph, wept and wept. He sobbed so loudly that all the courtiers in the court of Pharaoh heard him. There is a pain when you try to forgive people who have deeply hurt you. So forgiveness is not easy. It is very difficult. But can I also talk for a while about the misconceptions about forgiving? Now, some people think that to forgive someone is to excuse the person. You might be in a bus, traveling, number 13 bus or whatever it is, and some careless passenger step on your toes. You might say, "All right, I'm a Christian, I'll forgive him, he's careless." Oh, you don't travel on buses, do you? You upmarket people who travel on business class on Cathay Pacific, maybe a passenger could have trod on your toes callously, and you might feel very, very angry, but suddenly say, "All right, that guy was just clumsy, I'll forgive him." Now, forgiveness is not like that, excusing. There are some parents, you know, when the father has been very rough with the children, the mother might say, "Oh, daddy is really a good man at heart, but he can be hot-tempered. He can be very abusive the way he talks to you. So excuse him, excuse him." All the time, that father might be destroying the lives of the children, and the children might be very angry with him. That's excusing, but forgiveness is not excusing someone. Neither is forgiveness forgetting. You guys just can't just press the key delete and all the painful memories disappear into oblivion. No, no. Forgiveness is not something that you forget because, as I said earlier, all of us have elephant memories. All our memory banks can work over time, and we recall the painful things that happen to us. Neither is forgiveness reconciling. See, if a couple comes to me for, not couple, if a woman comes to me for counseling, marital counseling, and she has a very, very abusive husband who just hits her, I just can't ask her to go back and be reconciled. That'd be very foolish, be very dangerous to do. You can't be reconciled to a despot or to a tyrant. Or in some cases, maybe a parent, your mom or your dad, may have hurt you so much, and you want to be reconciled to them. You become a Christian. You want to get right with them. But they're dead. They've gone from this earth. You can't be reconciled to them. So forgiveness is not reconciliation. What then is forgiveness? Forgiveness is you saying, I do not want to punish you anymore. I want to forgive you, not because you are forgivable, not because you deserve mercy, but because I just want to release you. I want to pardon you. I want to start all over again. I want to free you completely, and I even want to bless you. That's forgiveness. And forgiveness, if you like, is a gift. It's a gift from God. We can't forgive naturally. All of us are inclined to the law of Lamech. But when the Holy Spirit lives in us, then we can say, we want to follow the law of Jesus. We will forgive from our heart everyone who has wronged us so terribly. We want to release them, pardon them, and forgive them. But then we move on to ask ourselves, what happens when we forgive someone? The blessings of forgiving other people. When we forgive, first it reflects God's grace. It reflects God's character. God is the God of forgiveness. He's the compassionate God. And you might remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. And of course, it horrors, how on earth can I be perfect? And we think of moral perfection. But it's interesting that in another version, the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6, there the Lord Jesus said, be generous as your heavenly Father is generous, or be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. After all, he makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and he also sends rain to everyone without discrimination. God is like that. So if we are like our heavenly Father, then we are willing to forgive. It's to reflect his nature in us. So we forgive because we want to be like God, because on the cross in Jesus, he has forgiven us of all our sins. And St. Paul reminds us, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God has forgiven you. But secondly, more important is when we forgive other people, it releases us. It releases, frees us completely. Now, think for a moment. The person who has hurt you so deeply, what happens? When you wake up, or in some conscious moment, or even unconscious moment, you can see in the screen of your mind that person. And maybe that person is miles away, or has such great power and influence that you can't do anything. You're just a tiny, puny human being. No way to fight that person. What would you do? Well, all of us mentally would create prisons for these people. We lock them up. And then we begin to say, I got you now, and I'm going to torture you. Will it be water torture, electric shocks, or send crocodiles to bite you? Whatever it is, we begin to invent all kinds of techniques to punish that person. I got you, you skunk, you rat. And sometimes we even think, well, maybe what you deserve is not just swift execution, not hanging or by the sword, but drinking rat poison. So we try to feed them rat poison so that they can slowly die. They can writhe in agony. You have that experience? Some people are looking down now. That means that all of us had, isn't it? Because we want to destroy those people that we have bitter experience of. So when we forgive, what we're doing is we are opening the prison doors and say, get out. You are free now. I do not want to hold this against you. I'm going to give up all my grudges and all thoughts of revenge. I do not want to punish you. I want to free you. And it's a realization that the rat poison I'm feeding that person in the end will destroy me. I'm going to swallow that poison. It's going to kill me. This is a heavy load, and I do not want to carry it. So I want to forgive. So when we forgive people, there is great release. The burden rolls away, and we become free beings. So when we forgive, we reflect God's nature. It releases us, and then it also breaks the cycle of guilt. The terrible thing about unforgiveness is we bring other people into the conflict, into the quarrel. Now, Shakespeare has put it so dramatically in Romeo and Juliet. When these two young lovers fell in love, what happens? The Capulets, the family of Capulet and Montague, they would never come together. They hate each other for generations. And today we see people in the same way too. The Lees and the Lums won't get together. The Wongs and the Wrights, they're always at, having bitter feuds and so on. And if their children ever plan a marital union, they'll be dead against it. So there's an ongoing cycle, the bitterness that feeds one generation after another, that never ends, the cycle of guilt, going on from one generation to another. But the moment we forgive, we cut off that cycle. Something is severed and broken, and people are free again. They do not hate, they love. Even in a church council or a church committee, when people forgive each other, then they can work together in unity. Love will come and the church will be blessed and the church will also grow. So forgiveness breaks the cycle of guilt. And also, fourthly, forgiveness, forgiving others, enable us to bless them. Now, it's one thing to forgive, but it's another thing to bless. Some years ago, there was someone who made my life very miserable. Took me a long while before I could forgive him. And the Lord said to me, look, you cannot be an agent of blessing if you just store grudges against this brother. You have to forgive him. Do not recite all the wrongs he's done to you, all the terrible words that he uttered against you. Just release him. I did. Not easy, I did. But then I heard the prompting of the Spirit saying, now, bless him. And I tell you, I was dumbfounded. I could speak. I'm an eloquent person. But to bless that person, I was just dumbstruck. Couldn't say a word. Why? Because when we hate someone, when we cannot forgive someone, we can never bless them. Inwardly, we want to curse them. We hope that they get struck down by some double-decker bus. We hope lightning would strike on them or something. Do you know what I mean? That all the bad luck, all the ill fortunes will meet them, that their business will collapse. That's how we think, right? But when we forgive, then we find that we have a freedom also to bless them. In other words, to desire God's best for that person. So I always tell people when they're in conflict, I say, look, even if the other person doesn't want to be reconciled to you, does not even want to receive your forgiveness, just go on blessing him. And sometimes I tell people in my congregation, look, the boss who is so hard-hearted, who is beyond reason sometimes, what do? Hey, go early in the morning. If you can get into his office, lay hands on his chair and say, I bless my boss. Lord, release your blessing on him. You know, one guy did that. You know what happened? The boss changed completely. And he says, ooh, it really works. It does, because when you start forgiving and blessing, the whole atmosphere changes. Something happens in the heavenlies, and things will take on a very different light. So there are tremendous results or consequences when we are prepared to forgive other people. But I want to close by asking a question. What if we don't forgive, or the unwillingness to forgive other people? Friends, I realize that most of us want to live in our bitterness and in our hurts and resentments. We want to store grudges. Why? Because if someone has abused or hurt us, we want to promote a kind of victim identity. I'm the poor victim. I was so helpless. I was a child and I was abused. I was sexually abused. Or I have no power and my boss fired me. Not even looking at the case carefully, it was a terrible miscarriage of justice. And of course we said, no, we don't want to forgive. Why should we forgive? Some months ago, a lady called us and she said, Pastor, can you and your wife do some personal ministry? I'm really in trouble and my life is getting from bad to worse. And she was training to be a counselor. But I know the case well, because 6 years previous to that, she came up. In fact, she was talking to me. She says, Pastor, will you help me? I have a difficult problem. I hate my mother. I really hate her. And I said, look, sister, if you do not release your mother and forgive her, you will have this problem. It will bug you all the days of your life. So we talked, and I tried to encourage her to forgive her mom. She said, and you know what she said? No! You don't know how much she has hurt me. I'm not going to forgive her. And then she realized that I was the pastor. She said, look, I'm sorry for exploding, for my anger. Can you give me space? And of course, I have no right to impose myself on her. So, all right, you have space, but look, please, get this settled as quickly as possible. So we parted company. She went to Birmingham, and I was in London. And then 6 years later, she called me one night. Help! Can you do something? I said, sister, is it the same problem? Same problem. 6 years, it was never resolved. So if we do not release people, the guilt, like a heavy boulder, will crush us, will be pinned under it, and will never be able to get up again. But then Jesus tells a story, the parable of the unmerciful servant. You know that story that was read to us by Roy? And let me put it in modern dress. Once there was founder president of a software company. It was a company that made tons of money. The VP, the vice president, was siphoned money because he wanted to invest in the stock market. But unfortunately, the market crashed. And he was in trouble. He would have owed millions and millions of dollars. And then the accountant talked to the president, and they tracked it down to the VP. And this man was hauled to the office of the president. And the man begs, says, please, please, I'm so sorry, because if you fire me, sack me, and make me pay all the money and send me to prison, it's the end of my career, it's the end of my family, and we will starve, and there will be dishonor. And so, please, sir, I beg you, forgive me. And this man, who was an upright, a man of integrity, a bright person, he just wrote off the debts, all right? I cancel all my debt. And this man felt so relieved, and he just left the president's office. And then as he went home that evening, he saw a man, an assistant manager in one of the departments, say, hey you, Mr. Lok, come here. You owe me $5,000, Hong Kong, $5,000. I want it now. I can't pay you. Can you wait till my next salary? No, right now. It's already expired by 2 days. You jolly well pay me right now. I can't do it. My family will starve if I give you my last $50. He said, no, you do it now. He said, no, I can't do it. So he calls the police on his mobile, and the man is arrested and clapped into prison. But of course, the other employees saw what happened, and they reported back to the boss. And the boss again summoned the VP to his office. He says, you are so thick. Don't you understand what I did? I canceled your debt. It would take you numerous years, even when you work till the very last year of your life, you can't pay me back. I cancel all the debts. And you bullied that poor man who owed you just 5,000 bucks. What's this? What's the sense of righteousness and proportion? And was so angry, got him arrested and put into prison. And then, what did Jesus say? As he ended the parable, he said these words, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Solemn words, isn't it? If we don't forgive our brother, our sister from the heart, then God will not forgive us. Then all the heavy loads of guilt, the sense of oppression, victimization, deep hurts and resentment, they will live with us forever. But if by God's grace, I will forgive, I will free, yes, the memories are very, very painful. It's tough to forgive, and forgiveness is a tough choice. I do not want to minimize that. But when we do that, the heavens open. God's love comes on us. Don't worry about the person we are forgiving. They might not accept our forgiveness. It doesn't matter. But as long as you forgive and release that person, there's going to be a new joy in your heart, a new spring in your steps. Blessings will come on you in tremendous abundance. So today, brothers and sisters, we have a choice. Do we want to follow the law of Lamech, of revenge, and the cycle, continuing the cycle of hurt? Or do you want to say, Lord Jesus, as you forgave people, even on the cross, as you forgive so freely, I'm going to forgive. And with God's grace, we can do that. Now I want us to pray. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. I want you to be very honest, because right now the Lord will surface images, pictures of people who have hurt you deliberately. There are people that we want to run 1,000 miles away from. There are people who make life so miserable for us, maybe when we were children, or maybe when we were youths, or maybe just recently in our office, our hospital, our school, our neighborhood, whatever. And the Lord is saying to you, forgive, as I have forgiven you. But there's also a warning. You don't forgive, you will not receive and experience my personal pardon and forgiveness. You keep people in their prisons, you find yourself locked up as well. And now I want you to take that key the Lord is saying, unlock the prison door, set them free, let them go. Not only that, bless them as well. Lord Jesus, it's not easy to do it. You know our struggles. But because we love you and because you have forgiven us so freely, we too want to forgive our enemies. We want to forgive those who made life so miserable for us, those who have hurt us so deeply. We forgive them and release them into the freedom of your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Will you do a deep work of grace in our hearts? In your name, amen. Now, I want you to do something. Sometimes, you know, we can say, I have forgiven. Or you may be saying to yourself, I've forgiven so and so. But how come you still have those bitter feelings? How come these people still haunt you? And that's why sometimes in forgiveness we have to either say things, I forgive. You know what James says, confess your sins to one another. You can't confess with your lips sealed, right? You can't confess simply talking to God in your spirit. You have to do something. You have to confess your sin to someone else so that they can hear it. And the moment you do that, there's tremendous liberation. You can be set free. And likewise, when you do something, something will happen in the heavenlies. That's where all reality stems, where all the real things are happening in the heavenly places. So what I want to ask us to do this morning is that if you have somebody you have not forgiven yet, but God is speaking to you this morning and you want to forgive him, forgive her, it could be a parent, it could be a wife, and someone this morning said to me, you know, thank God for your message, I've just forgiven my wife. Hallelujah. Or you might even have to forgive yourself. If I didn't say that, if I didn't take that course of action, then I wouldn't be in this stew. You may have to forgive yourself. All right? But whoever it is, I want to invite you to do something. This is very powerful. I want you to come forward. And we have here four buckets, or whatever you call them, bowls of water. I want you to come. When you come to this bowl, I want you under your breath, don't shout, under your breath, to say, I forgive, I release, name them personally. And when you have named them, under your breath, then you, I want you to wash your hands and then wipe them with the towel that's supplied here, and go quietly back to your seat. And whilst you go back, keep on blessing these people. Can you do that? Because to me, this is a very powerful symbol. We are willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, to obey the voice of God, and to really release these people so that blessings will come to them and also upon us as well. So as the music plays, I just want to invite you to come. Come and do it. So this is not a long appeal. I do not believe in long appeals. Just come up and you see what God can do for you. So be quiet in prayer. For some of you, it would be a real struggle. It's very difficult. I understand. I empathize. But once you do it, you'll find there a new liberation, a new experience of God's love and grace pouring into your lives. So do it. If you don't have to do it, just come up. Don't have to look. It takes courage to come up, but just come as God bids you to. Come right up. Name them, release them, forgive them, and then you experience the grace, the goodness, the kindness of God. And some of you might be struggling, saying, oh, I can't do that. The hurts are so deep. Precisely. All the more you have to get up and say, Lord, I can't, you can. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.